Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
There. Welcome to the Home with Havla podcast. I'm Havla Cunnington, and today we are talking all about overcoming perfectionism and figuring out what is good enough. So my suggestion is get those walking shoes on, grab your cup of coffee, maybe pop this on for your road trip, or maybe you're even on a summer vacation and you're sitting out by your pool and you're thinking, what should I listen to? Well, you know what? Let's have a conversation about perfectionism and some of the strategies I use to overcome this relentless pursuit of it being perfect and idealistic and actually getting into this sweet place of acceptance and the knowing that there is enough. So I'm really glad you're here. Again, this is the last episode of the series that I did on burnout and sabbatical for the month of June. So if you're just jumping on this podcast, no problem. It's a complete episode, but you can go back to the beginning of June and hear my whole process. And I think you're going to really enjoy this series. All right, you guys, let's get started on today's podcast. Well, I want to welcome all of you to today's episode. And if you're new here, welcome. My name is Havla Cunnington. I am a wife of an incredible man, Ben Cunnington. We've been married almost 18 years. Isn't that wild? How does that happen? It just does. And I have four boys. We live in Northern California at a little place called Redding, California. It's about halfway between Sacramento and the Oregon border. And I am the women's pastor of a fantastic church called Bethel Church, along with I run a nonprofit ministry called Truth to Table, where we've spent almost 10 years creating Bible studies that are hosted online for anybody in your living room. And every year in about around January, we have the annual Bible study where thousands of people from around the world join me as I go through a topic for about 15 days. And so we've done that every year. And you may have found me because of that, or you've seen me somewhere speaking around the world, and I'm really glad you're here. So if you're new here, welcome. I never want to forget you because I always assume everybody knows. And so if you don't, we're really glad you're here if you're a new listener. Now today we're going to talk about overcoming the constant pursuit of perfectionism and embracing the concept of good enough. So I remember after my second son, I was diagnosed with postpartum depression. And if you have followed me at all, sorry, I'm moving around and I'm on the road and I'm probably touching my mic. So forgive me if it's a little clicky and a little bit, you can hear that. For my husband's going to hear it. I'm so sorry. but here I am. I have these two little boys, which are the love of my life. I'm so excited to be a mom and a wife. I waited 27 years before I started this journey and I was thrilled. And then I go into this deep dive of postpartum depression, which I didn't even know you could be a Christian and have depression. I know it sounds really limiting, and I realize that we've come a long way from 15 years ago. But for me personally, this was an aha moment. And here I am trying to figure out how to get back to better, how to get back to being who I want to be, need to be, think I should be. And I remember my counselor looking at me, and I was explaining all the things that I wasn't doing right and all the things I needed to work on and all the failures of that season. And she looked at me and she said, Havla, you need to learn the difference between perfectionism and good enough. You need to learn the difference between perfectionism and good enough. And I asked her, what do you mean by that? And she said, well, you have to look around. And instead of asking, is everything done right? Did you do it exactly as you wanted to do it? Is it exactly what you anticipated? You need to actually look around your world and say, is this good enough? And if you can say this is good enough, then you need to move on. And what I ended up doing is I would get stuck in the perfectionistic part of my life And then I wouldn't do anything, or I would just freeze, or I would feel discouraged or even embarrassed that I was ashamed that I didn't have it all done. And so I started doing that. Even as a mom, is this good enough? Yes. Do my kids eat the most organic, holistic, homegrown, farm fresh? No. But do they eat as healthy as I can afford and I can manage? Yes. Then it's good enough. Is my marriage, you know, amazing and thriving? And do we connect heart to heart? Is our intimate life just, you know, fireworks? Well, maybe sometimes, but at this maybe season with four littles, it wasn't that way. And I would have to look around and say, it's not perfect, but man, it's good enough. And it's exactly what it needs to be. It's imperfectly perfect is kind of the way I like to think of it. And so that began to be a filter for me. And I'll tell you what, it was like a filter that allowed me to no longer stall out, get distracted, figure out, okay, how do I go from here? It was like immediately I got into third gear. I wasn't in fifth gear, but I was in third gear, which meant I was still going down the road, and that really helped. So I want to explain to you a few important topics important points about perfectionism, because perfectionism is kind of a big range. But really what it means is it's this mindset that we have this relentless pursuit of being flawless. And we have a tendency to set these high standards, these excessively high standards for ourselves and for others. And it often involves striving, right? Striving for perfectionism in every aspect of life, whether it's your work, maybe it's your relationships, your appearance, your personal achievements. And it also has, usually it's accompanied, like there's this underlying narrative that follows with a fear of intense failure and making mistakes. And usually it engages in like self-criticism or self-doubt. And when we start to pursue perfectionism, we end up feeling very dissatisfied and we feel stressed. And often we have an inability to enjoy or appreciate our accomplishments. Now, I know you might be thinking, okay, let's keep going, but I want you to stop right there. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I feeling dissatisfied? Am I feeling stressed about my life? Do I notice that I have an inability to enjoy or appreciate the things that I've actually accomplished? And it's not a sure sign, but it can be a sign that you are really dealing with perfectionism. And that's okay. It's a human thing. We all kind of swing towards different angles, and you might swing towards perfectionism, and I am a recovering perfectionist, so I get it. My perfectionism didn't land in the areas that you might anticipate, but it definitely was this unachievable pursuit of the idealistic picture. That's how perfectionism looked for me. It wasn't really wrapped up in how people saw me or how maybe I even saw myself. It was more wrapped around what I was trying to get to, like the vision, the picture. I was trying to get to that place. And I did not know that that was taking me out and that was hurting me. And so it really can end up being a distraction, and it can delay us, and it can keep us bound. And really, the Holy Spirit wants us to be free, that we can live in the good enough. You know, I think about that scripture that says we're foreigners in this land. No wonder we feel restless. No wonder we feel like nothing is perfect. Everything around us is dying. And that's not to be pessimistic, but you know what I'm talking about? Everything gets wear and tear. You know, the moment you are young and healthy, you start to age. The moment you paint your house, it starts to get old. Things are, you know, it's the fall of man. It's the fall of creation. And so to keep things at a perfected state is really going against the ecosystem of a fallen world. And so it's okay to be sad and disappointed that things don't stay the same and that you work really hard and it only lasts a little bit. But what I don't want you to do is get so fixated on the perfectionistic of it, the perfectionism of the story, that you miss enjoying the moment that you're in. So, you know, some of the downsides to being perfectionistic is we often just highlight those negative things, right? We highlight the things that aren't going right. And we can get into such a state of perfectionism, it actually looks like procrastination, which is funny. You would think that procrastination isn't linked to perfectionism, but statistically it is. And It's often linked to the fear of failure or even a low self-confidence. Like, I don't think I can pull this off, and so I'm just going to procrastinate because in the perfect world, I'll be able to do it. I tend to do this when I'm waiting for the right feeling because I'm pretty intuitive. I don't know if you're like that. Maybe you are more emotional, or maybe you're intuitive, or maybe you are a processor. But for me, I tend to wait until I get that, yeah, it's time. And sometimes that feeling never happens. And so I tend to wait to call, make the call or write the email or, you know, try something new. And I have to look at it and realize I've idealized a feeling rather than getting myself in motion. And that's very important. Perfectionism can lead to burnout. It can also prevent us from taking risks and trying new things. Now, I want to say this real quick. I am on a sabbatical. We just landed in France a couple days ago, and here I am about to start my sabbatical July 1st. And wouldn't you know it, I've spent a week and a half planning, and I don't know. I live with five guys. They're incredible. I love them. But I think I was thinking about this trip for about 3 weeks longer than the actual trip, right? And about 48 hours before the trip, everybody tunes into the fact that we're leaving, and they're saying, I need underwear and I need socks and I don't have shoes for that. And so here I am busting my butt trying to find all these things. And we don't live in a big city, so I have to order things and make sure they come in time and make sure they fit. And, you know, all the things, prep. And I feel better when things are prepped and I'm ready to go. And I like to have that kind of Mary Poppins bag that pulls out whatever is needed at the moment. And so here we are, we've realized our passports are running late. We decided to flip our flights to an earlier day. God works it out. We actually get money back for doing that. And we end up going to the passport office and finding out that our passports are going to be delivered 30 minutes too late for us to catch our evening flight. So Ben and the two boys that have passports take off, and I stay back with our other two boys that have to renew their passports. We end up getting the passports. We have to buy a whole new flight. We get on that new airline. We're in the back of the boat, all the way in the back, squished between a bunch of people, the three of us, and we have to take 18 hours to get to Paris, which means we have to go to Istanbul. Well, midway through, they have us check all of our bags because I don't have any seniority on this airline, which I do on United, and that's what I was taking, so I can take as many bags, and it's a benefit to all the years of travel. And here I am, I'm at the back of the line. And so we have to check all of our bags. I get on the plane midway through a 10-hour flight. Aunt Flo decides to come. And if you don't know what that is, it's okay. Ask your mom. And here I am. I have no supplies because everything was in my other bag. So we land in Istanbul. I'm roaming the airport for 2 hours looking for supplies. There's nothing. And finally we finally get on a flight. 18 hours later, we show up in Paris, and I'm like, we made it, right? Okay, that was wild. We made it. That night, I have some pizza that my husband had ordered because it was around midnight. I have a couple bites, and my front tooth falls out into my mouth, and I am dying. I'm like, what is this? Because years ago, I had had a tooth that they had put a cap on. Well, the tooth broke off into the cap. It's unbelievable. So I find this dentist. We roam through Paris. We have an appointment at 4 o'clock. We go in. She goes, oh no, your tooth broke off. So here I am, an hour into this dentist appointment. She's cutting back my gums. She's trying to stick this thing on. She's grinding and she's saying, I don't know if it's going to work or not. And I get on the subway. We come back to the hotel room and I can barely keep it together. I am feeling so defeated. Like, wait, I work so hard. I knew that God told me to take the sabbatical. He has, just divinely provided the whole time. And then one thing after the other feels like it's not working. And I cry. And I'm like a mess. I'm like, this is so dumb. I'm crying. I shouldn't be crying. I'm like, look at my life. Come on. And then I'm feeling ashamed that I'm a mess. And yet I'm thinking, am I going to have toothless photos for 2.5 weeks? And this one trip, like, am I going to end up photoshopping all of our photos? Anyway, regardless, right? I'm laying there and I wake up this morning and all of a sudden I remember, Havilah, is it good enough? And I think, you know what? It is good enough. My family is here. I'm in good health. My husband loves me, toothless or not. I have a good future in God. And I had terrible health this year. My back feels good today. It's going to be good enough. And that's what I'm talking about. It's that resilience to say, yeah, there's a lot of bad things that happen and I can't change that, but I can start again and I can look around and I can find the beauty. And today we went and had breakfast and I looked at my boys and thought, you know what? I love my boys. They are a piece of work, but I love them and I love my husband and I love where we are. So what we want to do is embrace that mindset of being good enough, right? We want to figure out that this is really important. And so we want to set realistic expectations. So for me personally, mine is we're all together. We all get along. We all have clothing and we all eat good food and we just spend time. After breakfast, there was a little foosball table and I decided to verse my second son Hudson in foosball, and I'm sitting there playing the game and I'm thinking, this is present, which means this is good enough. If I can be present, it's good enough. It's not perfect, but it's good enough. Am I sitting at the Louvre with my coffee waiting to have this private tour? No, I'm not. I'm telling the kids, please pick up your things. Come on, let's go. All the things, right? So here are just some things I want you to think about. And that is to really begin to identify the perfectionism, but also begin to think about ways you can overcome it. So first thing is set those realistic expectations. Like it's summer maybe for you as mom. So don't have this whole idea that you're going to have this Disneyland experience. You know, maybe it's we're going to do one thing a day, whether it's a walk, whether it's a museum, whether it's, you know what, we're going to have a pajama day every Saturday, and set those expectations and then embrace those mistakes as learning opportunities, but practice self-compassion. Be compassionate towards yourself and make sure that maybe you write a little, you know, you have a good enough journal that you write down, hey, every day, here's something that we did that was good enough. And then another thing I want to encourage you is to cultivate a supportive environment. So don't call your most perfectionistic parent, sibling, best friend, boss, whoever it is, don't ask them what they think if you know they're going to set high expectations. Practice compassion by reaching out to the most empathetic person in your life and letting them give you feedback rather than someone else. Encourage others that you're trying to overcome perfectionism. Tell your spouse, tell your kids, tell your best friend, listen, I'm really trying to overcome perfectionism, so I'm going to just really work on this, which means I'm going to start to say things that I'm grateful for. So that way, you know, wow, I'm really looking for this. So the main point I want you to understand is, yeah, we can be perfectionistic. We can be good enough, but I'd rather veer on the good enough because perfectionism is exhausting. Nobody wants to be around us. Sorry. It's true. And it's really important that we set those expectations. Now, the next episode for the month of July, my husband and I, we're going to go through how to set up your summer. And I'm super excited about this. And so we're going to spend a few, maybe about an hour. We're going to cut it into a couple of segments for July. We're going to talk about some of the steps that Jenna Zent did on my podcast, actually on my Facebook Live. So follow us for the month of July. But I hope that this encourages you. Nothing is perfect, but there are some really great good enough moments in our life. All right. Love you guys. Leave us a review or 5 stars if you love this so other people can find us. If nothing else, have a fabulous summer.